Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are. With Dan Z, the podcast you're looking for. This is... Yes.
Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
Unbelievable. No, that's a very powerful one, Clayton. Well done. Aaron, what's your last one?
Ditto. Carrie Fisher was going to be was on my list as the last one.
Yeah, are you guys wearing the same t-shirts, too?
There you go. Yeah.
Great minds.
You never know. I say, WikiLeaks must have hacked my computer again.
There you go.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi, show number 142. We are your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, rhetoric, and the best travel tips this side of the galaxy. I'm your host, Dan Z, drinking One Nation Coffee out of my Disney Star Wars Runs 5K mug, courtesy of Riley Blanton, which was such a cool thing that he sent me that last year. The registration is now up to register for the next Star Wars half marathon, and we've got the 5K, the 10K. I do the virtual one, and it has been so much fun. I loved doing it last year, so I'm very excited that it's going to come back today. I'm sure we'll talk about that much more in the next couple of weeks. On Coffee with Kenobi, I invite you to join me as we think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way, and hopefully laugh a little bit in the process, and I'm pretty confident that you will. You are absolutely among Star Wars family as we go to our favorite coffee shop and talk some Star Wars. And one major reason I am so confident you're going to have so much fun on today's show is our guests are Holly Fry and Nick Deco. We are going to talk about the top five things we love about Star Wars: A New Hope. And probably you can guess, based on that topic, you can know what to expect over the next couple of months. We're going to just look at the top five things we love about each of the cinematic Star Wars film releases. It's going to be a blast. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
Before we bring in our hosts, I would love to put out a special call for anyone who has a top five of their favorite Star Wars films to send them in, and we'd be happy to share them on Coffee with Kenobi. And you know, as I just mentioned, it's going to be over the entire Star Wars cinematic universe. So if you have a movie, let's say you're like, oh, I can't wait to talk about Rogue One. I can't wait till I hear everybody talk about The Phantom Menace, whatever. Send in your stuff as soon as you can. And when it gets time for that show, I'll be sure to include it into Coffee with Kenobi's broadcast. So please send them in. I would love for you to do that. It's going to make it so much more fun and interactive. We are really going to go through these films over the next few months. I have other ideas for top fives, but going over the movies is definitely great because that is the bread and butter of Star Wars.
So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is Holly Fry.
Hi.
Hello there. Holly, of course, is no stranger to podcast listeners. She is one of the co-hosts of Full of Sith, as well as Stuff You Missed in History Class, which has a live tour going on, which is incredibly awesome. I can't wait to hear more about that.
Yeah, we have finished our East Coast segment, and now we are prepping for West Coast in the second week of October. So if you are on the West Coast, now is your chance. If you're in Seattle, Portland, LA, or San Francisco. And
what's the reception been like so far?
Oh, it's been great. It's super fun. It's really great to go out and meet listeners, but also it's really fun to see just how crowds are in different cities. You know, we had a show in Brooklyn, which was pretty hilarious because that's a crowd that's very vocal and very, you know, they're willing to chatter. And so that was a fun surprise for us as they like yell, yeah, from the audience, because they're just really excited to hear about Anne Royal, who was a journalist. And our October dates are going to be a little spookier since we do a lot of Halloween programming. So those are all going to be about safety coffins and waiting mortuaries.
I know when we do live stuff, it's never been on that scale, although one day that would be a great thing to pilot, I think. But you, is it tricky coming up with topics that you want to be different from the regular show, or how does that kind of work?
No, we always plan that any live show we do technical aspects willing will end up in our regular show feed. We do make sure to bake in fun stuff so that people that made the effort to like buy a ticket and show up and put on pants and actually go to a show get something special that no one will ever get again. But really, it's more just a matter of one, we try to pick a topic that we would probably cover anyway on the show. And two, we have kind of a no bummers rule. So they're usually a little bit more fun and lighthearted. Mm-hmm. We're not really going to talk about like the strain of race relations in America in the early 1900s on a live show, probably, unless there was a specific situation that that really fit for. They tend to be a little bit more fun and lighthearted, so we can have a little more fun with the audience.
Right, which is great. I like that. Also joining us on the show, he is a longtime contributor to Coffee with Kenobi. He is our video game correspondent. You know him, you love him, Nick Deco.
Hey guys, how's it going?
It's going very well. So nice to have you back on the show again.
Yeah, it's great to be back. Thanks, Dan. So, and Holly, it's great to be on with you out because obviously I missed in history class the history of hurricanes in North Carolina. Otherwise, I would probably be better prepared. So right. I will look forward to that podcast sometime in the future.
We've covered a couple of hurricanes, and I think we have some more on the list, but those aren't going to help you right at the moment.
No, they're not. They're not. So I need the time travel. So.
Well, this will be an escape for a lot of reasons, this show. And one of the reasons is, besides a very real situation that Nick is talking about, which we look forward to the resolution of that, we're going to escape the hurricane of hair pulling that sometimes happens in fandom. We're going to flip the switch even more than we have on Coffee with Kenobi. We're going to talk about everything we love about Star Wars: A New Hope. As New Hope, obviously, I don't need to tell anyone listening to this show what A New Hope means to us, but there's so many things you could pick out, whether that would be scenes, moments, ideas, memories, characters, what have you. And speaking of characters, when we get to a certain sequence, I'm going to share a behind the scenes story of a conversation Holly and I had in regards to this topic. But Holly, I'm so excited. Holly, why don't you start us off? And again, this isn't like in a top five as far as five is the least, one is the best. Just kind of the five that just kind of came to mind. Holly, what's your first one?
My first choice is the Dianoga.
Really?
Yes. I love creatures. This year for Valentine's Day, my husband got me a Dianoga. That's what it's like in my house. and I love it. Her name is Pam. But I just have always loved it. As a kid, I loved it because it was just this weird, goofy thing. But as I got older, I really came to appreciate what a wonderful storytelling device it is. We literally see, you know, a few inches of this creature, but we still know that it is scary and that it drives this moment in the story. And of course, as legends and canon and expanded universe and all of that has happened, it's taken on a whole life of its own. But I just love that it started with one silly one-eyed creature.
Mm-hmm. For me, the Dianoga is all about the Death Star playset.
Yes.
And the little creature like that to me, I love. That's one of my favorite things. And when you said you got a Dianoga, is it the one that's the convention exclusive, the bigger one?
No, he actually had a prop maker make me a big Dianoga.
Wow. I want to see a picture of that. That's cool.
I will send it. So I can hold it like a baby and it's my baby Dianoga. I know it's the goofiest thing on the planet, but. I love me a Dianoga.
That's awesome. Holly, back question. Did you read the, what's that 40th anniversary book of A New Hope that had the Dianoga's like backstory?
From a certain
point of view.
Yeah. What did you think of that?
I don't know that I'm aficionado, but I thought it was really fun. And I liked the idea that, again, it gave this creature that started as a little stalk mm-hmm. in a scene, mm-hmm. this whole, like, we have an idea of her sentience, one, that it's a female, two, you know, that it's a creature with thoughts, emotions that has gone through its own terrible ordeal. And I loved that idea of just writers getting to play with these concepts. So that was super fun.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. Very cool.
That is fun. Nick, what's the one you have? The first one you have?
Boy, Well, the first one that came to my mind that popped in, and I'm not a huge Bounty Hunter fan, but the cantina scene, just that whole scene from start to finish, but just like the grittiness you get, the kind of shady looks at different characters, and the first time we get to see Han and Chewie, just how you just didn't know who they were, where they're going to go. I mean, so much happens in that one scene. Like, you can have a top five of just that scene and still not scratch the surface. We still talk about the Greedo Han incident, right? Because Lucas fixed it, and now it's a thing in fandom. Who shot first? You know, whose side are you on? In the music, the cantina theme, the band in the background. It's just like, it for me, when I was thinking, what's my favorite five moments in Star Wars that I love for A New Hope, that just came to mind. Even though I'm not a huge fan of like the whole background story to Bounty Hunters, and I kind of like the, you know, the space battles and how things play out outside of Tatooine, but that still, it just lodged in my brain of one of the, you know, best moments of that movie.
I totally get the vibe you're throwing out there, because I feel a very, very similarly. I've never, like, if they were going to do a live action TV show, it was going to be The Underworld. That just didn't do anything for me. But there are certain aspects of the characters or the creatures that I always liked, and that's a good call. My first one is, I got to go with my roots here, but it's the mythology and the adherence to the hero's journey, the structure of the story. You know, as an educator, I'm continually fascinated by how perfectly this film follows those beats of that classic archetype, and how it just has so many elements of what we value as a culture, both in 1977 as well as in 2018 and beyond, and the connections and the notion that you can be from different backgrounds and come from different places and have different upbringing and still be like family and become family. You know, good versus evil, the iconography, the symbolism, I mean, blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, I could go on and on just about that aspect of it. And I pretty much have for 5 years, I guess, on Coffee with Kenobi, but that would be it. That would be it. That would be my first one.
I like that. Your two picks kind of intersect at a really important place for me, because I've always said, like, I love the cantina and I do love all that gritty stuff. But for me, what made the cantina really special as a kid was that it was full of a bunch of different people. Like Dan was mentioning, it's all of these creatures and characters from all over the galaxy, and they can all coexist in this one place. And like, so for me, you guys kind of hit the perfect Venn diagram on that one of the cantina and what makes it so great. It's 'cause in that big thing. Oh, it's the best. My second choice pick, though, has nothing to do with either of those. It's the scene between Han and Luke when they are back on the Falcon, and Luke starts out by saying, "What do you think of her?" And they start talking about the princess. And initially Han's like, "Ugh, she's a pain in the butt." But then when he sees that Luke's into her, he has to be like, "I don't know, maybe I'm into her." And it's just such a great character beat for Han that set up, you know, way back when it first came out, you knew exactly who he was in that moment. And I just love that interplay between the two of them. Luke is so earnest and so completely starry-eyed over Leia. And just to have Han kind of slap him around in a playful way over it is really fun.
And that is such a character moment, because you see the twinkle in his eye and there's like brotherly bond there, but it's also such a dude thing.
Right.
You know, to mess with each other like that. And then we can all relate to that. We've all been Han or Luke in those situations, regardless of our gender, really. You know what I mean? We love to tease our friends. I mean, that's great fun.
I'm going to go a little more with Luke's thing here, but it as one of my son's names is Lucas, we call him for short. Every time, you know, we say his name and we call back him the call, it always feels like it comes out like Amberu on Tatooine calling for Luke. Always sounds like Luke. Oh, and it doesn't matter how you say it in your head, you just see that moment and you just see the blue milk and you just see Luke in his homestead being a moisture farmer, trying to get away, you know, trying to get off the planet. But it's like, it just resonates so much with like that. He had a family, he had people who cared about him. And it's kind of, it sets, you know, if you think about it, does set the tone for so much of who he is and who his life is. Like, you know, he never knew his father, never knew his mother. But he had, you know, family who cared about him. And you can sense it from Amber. You can sense from in the conversations she has with Owen about, like, you know, he can't stay here. You know, he's too much like his father. But it's not out of a malicious way. It's out of a caring way. You know, he has big hopes and dreams. And, you know, we should nurture that. And, you know, they just come off as a very loving family, which gives him the ground to, you know, upend the empire in the end. You know, gives him the ground to redeem his father and to see the good in people. But just that, from her voice and just from her, you know, her calling, you know, Luke back home for, I guess, dinner or lunch. I can't tell with my two sons what time of day it is in that planet at all.
Right.
So, you know, like, but that for me is just one of those iconic moments in the movie.
Well, he was drinking milk, so maybe it was breakfast.
I mean, Mikey's drinking milk for dinner. I don't know.
But, right?
Yeah. I drink coffee for, like, dessert. I don't know. So
yeah, I can relate to that.
I'm drinking my coffee second, right now.
Oh, right. It certainly does the body good, speaking of milk. My second one is Luke Skywalker and Han Solo in Stormtrooper armor. I cannot even tell you how much was Stormtrooper armor because those two are wearing it. The fact that they continually take off the helmets or buckets, if you will, put them back on, and the fact that they could put that armor on and walk around and put it in, into so many great, you know, playable moments for me with my action figures or just when I was had a Halloween costume. Because if I had a Stormtrooper costume, I could still be Luke Skywalker or Han Solo. And just the click of the armor moving around, I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but I've always been so enamored with seeing those two in the armor, and they never really duplicated anything like that later.
It is
that's
sort
a good
of,
one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. It's kind of their Abbott and Costello moment.
Yeah.
Since it's a little bit silly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is. And then and even though I've seen it a billion times, I still like to, the scene when, you know, TK421, why aren't you at your post? I still like to think, okay, so which is that one Luke or is that one Han? And then, I still know. It's just fun to kind of talk that out with my son when he and I watch it, and he'll say, "Daddy, which one is that one?" And we'll play sort of Sherlock and try to figure out which one is which. And I don't know, I love it. I love it. So there's our first two. We are not even close to them. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we'll give our next couple of top five things we love about Star Wars, A New Hope. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Very excited to share that this week we added even more members to our Coffee with Kenobi Patreon family. What a blessing it is to have you help our show out in so many different ways. And I'd love to give a special thank you for Ben Elkington, Rebecca Raven, Dennis Keithley, Terry Lee, Melinda Wolf, Wayne Booker, Aaron Harris, Chris Skavarka, Angela Sauce, Mediocre Jedi, Phil Picaro, Tim Bungaroth, Chris Metz, LJ Souter, Thea Selby, Jeff Ellis, Daz Davies, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jerry Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Dico, and Mark Suter. Our Patreon show for Coffee with Kenobi is CWK Pour Over. And this week, we looked at the Entertainment Weekly cover with Captain Marvel on it, and we really get into some detail about the Marvel franchise and the excitement we have for this upcoming film. Here is a clip.
You know, I actually scrolled upon it this today.
Scrolled upon it, you mean?
I scrolled upon it, yeah, on Facebook, on my feed there, and it kept three or four times actually in the last few hours or so, just seeing it pop up. And I think the cover, I mean, I'm going with the cover that I've seen, kind of introduces you into the article of Marvel or
sure.
E Weekly. I want to say
E-Weekly. You missed my scroll joke.
Scroll. Oh. I got it there. I'm there now. Yeah. You're so punny. Anyway, so the cover itself looks fantastic. I think it's Brie Larson. Is that who's playing?
It is.
Captain Marvel. She looks great. The costume looks fantastic. It's stunning. Looks powerful. Yeah, I think it looks really nice. Really cool.
Okay.
You don't like the cover?
I mean, I love the cover, but I honestly, when I first saw it, I think the problem for me is that she had tweeted the other day, "Hey, Entertainment Weekly, you ready to break the internet tomorrow?" So I was expecting a trailer.
Oh,
so that was my problem.
And then I saw the cover, I'm like, oh, okay, it's just going to be some stills from the upcoming issue, which is great. I will love it, and I'll read it, and I subscribe. And
when it comes, I understand what you're saying. It's a promotional piece for sure, and it's kind of the first look at costume itself on her, and
I guess I wanted to see her like floating with like this power aura emanating because she's a tour de
force. Her hands are kind of like glowing and powerful.
Her hands are power.
Well, true.
I don't know. I think I know exactly what you're saying, Dan, but I think, the focus of it is that costume. I mean, that is sharp because, if I'm remembering back to some of the first original photos that were coming out, remember it was green and black and everyone was making a cry about that. What's going on here? So I think, this is like, boom, stark color. It's what we expect from Captain Marvel, and the glowing fists are pretty awesome.
And the conversation goes on from there. We also talk about James Gunn, his firing from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Talk quite a bit about that, and there's a lot of interesting places that we go with this conversation, and that's what you can expect from CWK Pour Over. Also, if you're a member of our Patreon page at patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi, you can get t-shirts, coffee mugs, you have access to CWK Lens, where I will give you behind the scenes on different things, especially when there's travel involved, and a whole lot more. So be sure to go to www.patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi. And if you're already a contributor, thank you again so much for helping to make this show possible and for all the other things we want to do in the near future. Does not happen without you and your continued support. Thank you again so very much. Hope to see you on our Patreon page very soon. One Nation Coffee is the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. Go to www.onenationcoffee.com today. Start up a subscription service and make sure to get the best coffee in the galaxy delivered to your home. And I, of course, am a big coffee drinker. It's sort of inherent in the name of the show. And this is the best stuff I've ever had. It really is. So be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com, put in the code KENOBI10 and get 10% off your first order. We are back and we are on our third thing for the top five things we love about Star Wars A New Hope. Holly, we are back to you.
So this one's super easy. It's Leia. I mean, everything about Leia. To date myself, I was 6 when A New Hope came out. And like, that was such a formative moment to see this woman who was still very young. She looked not that different from my teenage sisters at the time, who was just this amazing, really powerful, super confident, just incredible leader, wisecracker. I mean, she was like really the model of the woman I wanted to be. She's the best.
She is the best. And she, not only did she like empower, a generation of people, but I still attribute her as one of the reasons why, and Nick, you could probably speak to this too. Like my son, he's 5 and all his life, all he's known is that Princess Leia is a force, not only with a blaster, but also with her wit or her intelligence or her charisma. And I just think that is cool that he's growing up in a world that you have someone like Leia that lends itself to Jyn Erso and Rey, right? I mean, she breaks down barriers and shows you it's okay. I remember, and I've told this before, that when I was a kid and I bought the Princess Leia action figure, I was embarrassed that people were going to make fun of me because I was a boy buying a girl action figure. But in my heart, I feel like that was okay. And she made it okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she, it's interesting. My husband likes to tell, it's a little bit sappy, so brace, the story about how to him, like, if it were not for Princess Leia, we would not have our life together. Because at the same time, I was imprinting as like, that is the kind of person I want to be. He was imprinting going, that is the kind of person I want to be with. And so,
that's
so
awesome.
She kind
that's
of prepared
great. Yeah,
us
that's
to
really
the
cool.
Right people for each other. Yeah.
I love that. That's great. That makes me very happy. Nick, what's your next one?
That's really cool. So I kid you not, I mouthed some very profane words to myself when you said Leia was your number 3, Holly, because I was like, you've got to be kidding me, because literally I'll take a picture of my list and it's there. Like, the number 3, Leia, like just her character. So, I have a bright pink t-shirt that has, you know, Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia from A New Hope on it, and just her silhouette, and it says Rebel Forever. And it's definitely one of my favorite shirts to wear around. And, you know, and it's kind of, it embodies that open, you know, defines to, for me, gender roles, you know, what your sons look up to, and giving, you know, my daughter a strong role model besides your mother to look up to because of all the things she sets out in A New Hope. I mean, she is defiant in front of Vader and Tarkin. She is resilient after the Death Star blows up Alderaan. She rescues herself practically, you know, from the Death Star. And she's just, she's smart in the take, you know, everything in that movie, shows that she is a capable and smart leader. We haven't scratched the surface about her, you know, from just that movie. We think we do, but we really don't know everything that's gone on in her life. You know, and she always, not always one ups, you know, the boys, but she does, you know, she's even when they're escaping from the Death Star and they get away and she's like, they let us go. And, you know, Han's like, no, not this ship. And she's like, yeah, they did. Like, you obviously know what you're talking about. It's like, she just knows. And she's like, she's, you know, she's part of the leader of the rebellion. She knows what's going on. And she just provides such, the character, you know, such gravitas to the story of the struggle versus good versus evil, you know, in a very large sense. And so I've always loved Leia from, you know, and from, you know, just as somebody who's a hero, you know, somebody who is, you know, she's one of the good guys. She is somebody who's always on living the right side of a battle. And as we've seen in, you know, the canon and legend stuff years later, she's willing to do the tough things to make the galaxy right. And, we'll see how it plays out in episode 9 and how all that happened, you know, throughout history and how her history, but for A New Hope. Yeah. I'm with Holly like that. She was just right there. This is like, it's Leia, all the things. So she didn't give Chewie a medal still, which is kind of a down, you know, we'll let it slide. That's fine. But otherwise it's like, you know, it's perfect. She's just great.
She throughout her history, she has every reason to just break down and just be a shambling mess because of all the tragedies she's faced. But even in The Last Jedi, she still manages to encourage and inspire. And I don't know, that's Gandhi level stuff, isn't it? I mean, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm. You're right. I mean, she got shot out of a cruiser, and she comes back and she's just like, let's do this thing.
Yeah, she's resilient on a level few people, I think, could ever achieve. But yeah, it's a great thing to aspire to, that's for sure.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Absolutely. My third one is a little bit different, a little bit unconventional, but it's the sounds of A New Hope, the sounds, the clicks, the atmosphere or pulse of the film, even when, you know, when you can hear someone cocking a blaster or switching a blaster to stun, or the clicking noise before a stormtrooper speaks, the sound of a lightsaber, the droids moving their heads, the noises in the cantina. It's just, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. It's, that, I mean, of course, John Williams, which I'll get to later, but that's like the soundtrack of my life. And when I'm replaying the film in my head, the sound goes with it, and much more so than any of the other Star Wars films. And they all obviously, you know, Ben Burtt, Matthew, well, they've all done, a legendary, life-changing job. But for some reason, the sound, the atmosphere in A New Hope is just magic to me.
A question, Dan, for you. Is the sound of the stormtrooper hitting his head on the lowered doorway when he's coming in, is that in there too?
Because that is not. That is an asterisk. that one did not make the cut. So every sound but that sound.
That little noise.
If I felt like it, I could throw that in with editing, but who has the time for that? Holly, what is your fourth one?
Mine is a little bit related. It's sort of sound related, but not it's not a one-to-one. So it is Red Squadron sounding off right before the final battle. I don't know why. I just love them all doing their standing by one by one. Like, to me, it's like this instant signal that excitement is coming, as a moviegoer, but also just, I love those guys. Like, I love the squad, all of the squadron stuff. That's part of what made like Rogue One. I mean, I was a puddle of tears by the end of that when they pulled in the old school stuff, because I, for no particular reason, like, there's not, I'm not like, I don't have a particular like obsession with the military aspect of it. I don't have a particular affinity necessarily for like squadron history in the real world. I mean, I've studied plenty, but like that's not really where my heart lies in terms of things I go after. But somehow in A New Hope, when they start clicking off one by one, I get like a surge of joy in my heart. I love it.
Did you ever care about the X-Wing novels, the Legends line of those?
I read them, but I was not one of those people. Like, I mean, I certainly know there are a lot of fans out there that devoured them, memorized them, can tell you, like, I could not really, without some assistance, relay the plot Cliff's Notes style to anybody of any of them.
Sure.
It's like, I read them, but they did not become, like, my touchstone.
Well, don't tell Brian, but I haven't read a single word of any of them. And it's not on purpose. It's just, you know, there's only so much time in the day.
Oh, I know it. Your secret's safe with me. Like, I will never fault anybody for how much they can or cannot consume, because there's more than any of us can ever get to.
I'm just following Holly's lead here, apparently. Like, I'm just going to, everything you say, Holly, I'm just going to be like, yep, that's my number.
Okay, well, get ready for number one.
Awesome. Good, because I'm just going to sit here and just take notes. Actually, my second one was, I mean, the trench run. Just like everything that Holly said leading up to that battle, you didn't know what you were expecting. You didn't know what you know you were getting into. And, you know, everything, you know, from beginning to the end, like, it was just, you know, it was the, you know, at first, it was supposed to be the ending of Star Wars. You know, Lucas thought maybe this is it. This is all we get. It wraps up this whole idea of wars in space in one movie. But as we know, that didn't happen. And it just kind of it just resonates from that the whole peak of action for A New Hope. All this work, all the sacrifice was leading up to this moment, and. You know, going back to the sounds, like you were saying, Dan, the sounds, the visual effects. You know, I saw this when I was younger in the 80s, but this was the pinnacle of moviedom for me as a kid. You know, like this was action and drama and, you know, loss and so many things happening in a very short time frame that it stuck with you as like, this is an amazing movie. This is my favorite movie of all time. And I, you know, for me, like, I know this, we do trench runs, or we do something similar to that in a bunch of the other Star Wars movies, or we kind of try to recapture that glory. But you know, the original still stands the test of time, no matter when you watch it or how you watch it. For me,
and no matter how many video games we get of the Star Wars franchise and epic battles, the one that always means the most to me is when I get to blow up the Death Star, and it's because of that scene.
Any trench run, you're like, oh, it's a trench run. I know what this is, and this is going to be amazing. So, like, let's do this. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what's cool about every one of these that we're mentioning? When people are listening, the music is going through their heads, right? I mean, we know this movie so very well, which leads to my number four, and that's the first about 7 minutes or so. I didn't exactly time it out of the film. You know, the first time we see the scroll, the Vader's entrance, you know, the Tantive IV running away from the Star Destroyer, Leia standing up to Vader when clearly other people are quite frightened of him. And, you know, he's so much taller than her, and she just looks at him like she's not impressed. Frenetic C-3PO, the fact that the film starts in media res, I think the beginning of that film is perfect. It's absolutely perfect to me. And I don't throw that around. To me, it is.
Mm-hmm. I would say, Dan, to be fair, sorry, Holly, go ahead, do it first.
Oh, I was just going to say, I have a very similar reaction, right? Like, there's literally nothing like the beginning of that film. When I watch any other film, there are many great ones with a lot of beautiful openings, but none of them give me quite that same feeling.
Yeah, yeah. And to me, I mean, it's still wonderful, but once C-3PO and R2-D2 split, he says, over here, hey, help. Then to me, then it becomes the second act. And then it's mm-hmm. in that first sacrosanct part. But it's still great. It's still Star Wars, right? But what mm-hmm. are we going to pick for our last one in our honorable mentions? I don't know. I've still got my fingers crossed for what Holly and I talked about earlier. We will see. We're going to go ahead and take a break. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
one of the best parts about my morning, I kid you not, is Harry's Razors. Harry's Razors has a close, comfortable shave that I know I can count on. The weight of the razor, the design, the scent of the shave gel, it's all amazing. Harry's does stand by the quality of their blades too, and they know that switching razors is not an easy decision. It's just not. So they've created a trial offer. You can claim yours by going to harrys.com/CWKfamily. Harry's Razors were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features because they know a great shave comes down to great blades, made with sharp, durable steel that lasts, which is why they bought a factory that's been making some of the highest quality blades in the world for over 95 years. By selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. And you have a quality guarantee here. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days and they'll give you a full refund. That's a great deal. You get a $13 value trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. A weighted ergonomic handle, a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich, lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/CWKfamily. Make sure you go to harrys.com/CWKfamily to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support this show. It's time for the news segment, and this is going to be a different news segment than usual because I am flying solo. I guess you could say it's in honor of Solo, A Star Wars Story, although that's definitely not the case. It just sort of worked out that way. Tom has been really, really busy this week doing some great stuff here at our school, and so I am happy to take the reins, and I'm going to start the news with this incredible thing that Jonathan Kasdan did today. If you were on Twitter, I am sure you saw this, but he posted a collection of 52 facts and notes about the production of Solo, A Star Wars Story, and it is fantastic. It is incredible reading, and all of it is extremely detailed. It's not bullet points. It's sentences, sometimes paragraphs, about things that happen in Solo, A Star Wars Story and stuff behind the scenes with it. It's tremendous. The second one, The Name of the White Worm, is an homage to the thoroughly mediocre Bram Stoker novel, The Lair of the White Worm. In the original script, there were no worms at all, but described as well-dressed vampiric albino aliens a la David Bowie in The Hunger. Once C&P, which of course would be the original directors of Solo, A Star Wars Story, got involved, they became actual worms. Mother Proxima's design evolved throughout the production. The element that stuck from the very beginning was her sensitivity to light. That's the second one, and there are 52 of these things. And I'm telling you, it is a must-read. It's fascinating. Plus, I think Jonathan Kasdan is really becoming a treasure for Star Wars. We know he's going to write the Indiana Jones film that's coming out in a year and a half now. I wish it was tomorrow, but, you know, it's going to come, and I can't wait for that. But he's great. He understands character, and I was fortunate to ask him a question at the press conference for Solo, A Star Wars Story in May of this year, and I'm impressed. I think the guy is smart. This thing here proves that. Moving on, and this is so up my alley, Funko has revealed new Star Wars pop holiday figures, and they say holiday figures, but really they're all Christmas-related. And you've got Vader with a candy cane, you've got Yoda in a Santa suit, you've got Chewbacca covered in Christmas lights, you have C-3PO with the Santa outfit, and then you've got R2-D2 with basically reindeer antennas with Christmas lights on them, and they are so much fun. I absolutely love Star Wars and Christmas together. I've been talking about that forever, and seeing these, I like the pops. I buy a handful of them, but these, I feel like these are must-haves. And then there's a unique one that's a glow-in-the-dark candy cane as a lightsaber, and it's a chase one, which I'm not sure if that it's everywhere or if it is exclusive, but boy, is it nice. And we do have an image of these on Coffee with Kenobi's website. Thank you to Lisa for always being on top of things. She broke the news on this one for me, so I am really, really excited, man. I'm going to pause here, and I'm going to go wait in line. Just kidding. So the last piece of news, and this is a quick news segment because I want to get back to the A New Hope conversation, is that we have David Collins and Amy Radcliffe returning as the host for Celebration Chicago 2019, which is wonderful. I pretty much expected this. I'm sure a lot of you did as well. But they're tremendous. You know, David and Amy are no strangers. Amy, of course, is an important member of our Coffee with Kenobi family. Collins is going to host the digital stage, and Amy is going to host the behind-the-scenes stage for the third time. And this is tremendous. I am very excited and very happy for both of them. They're both extremely nice people, and they clearly know their Star Wars, and they're personable. So this is a real joy. There's no word yet over who the main host is going to be for Star Wars Celebration. Maybe they're still working that out. I actually am not sure. I certainly have some theories, as do all of you. But that's it. That's pretty much going to do it for news. A really, really quick, short and sweet segment. No time to bounce off of this week, but I can tell you that next week he is going to join me as one of my co-hosts, along with another special guest co-host, and we are going to look at, well, what do you think? The Empire Strikes Back, of course. So let's go ahead and take our next break. And when we come back, we will close out our top five things we love about Star Wars A New Hope. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
You're listening to the show. It's early in the morning. We're called Coffee with Kenobi, and you're thinking, boy, this conversation is fun. I love talking about Star Wars with my friends. And you know what? I could go for some coffee. Well, hey, I think that's a great idea, and you should go to www.onenationcoffee.com right now. They are the official brew of Coffee with Kenobi. Four lifelong friends had this idea that has grown into some of the best coffee you're ever going to have. It smells amazing and tastes even better. So be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com today and get 10% off your first order by putting in the code Kenobi10. Plus, they have a subscription service too, which I am definitely an active member of. So again, be sure to go to www.onenationcoffee.com today. Another great thing for you to do is go to MEI and Mouse Fan Travel for all of your travel needs. You're going to go to Walt Disney World, you're going to Disneyland, you're going to Star Wars Celebration in Chicago next year. You're going to need some hotels, you're going to need to get a good airline, you're going to want to find the best price, and that's why I go to MEI and Mouse Fan Travel, because they don't just hook you up with Disney World and Disneyland, but anywhere you need to go. Be sure to go to www.mousefantravel.com today. They are the official travel agency of Coffee with Kenobi and help you with everything the Disney theme parks and the cruise lines have to offer. Plan every detail and share invaluable tips for you. Go to www.mousefantravel.com today and let them know Coffee with Kenobi sent you. Okay, it is time. We are back. It is time for our last one. Top five things we love about A New Hope. This could easily be a top 20. I think all of us would have no problem coming up with 20 things we love about this film at the least. But fortunately, we only have time for one more, perhaps a few honorable mentions. So, Holly, the floor is yours. What is your fifth one?
Come on, it's so predictable. Anybody who has spent 42 seconds with me knows. It's Greedo!
Yay, here it is.
Greedo is my favorite thing. I have an altar to Greedo in my house. I love Greedo.
Rancho Greedo.
Yes. Yeah, my little tiny Rancho Greedo.
So tell me what you love about Greedo.
So if other people have heard me talk about this before, apologies. But for me as a kid, I remember watching the movie the first time, and when Greedo came on and he started speaking and he was speaking a completely made up language, I was like, all right, stuff is getting good. Like, I was ready for some aliens to talk. And then he was gone really suddenly, and it broke my little 6-year-old heart. But I just loved him. I love the design of him. I love the weird color choice to put him in, like, Easter colors when he's green. I love all the weird bumps on his head. I love the mask. I love everything about Greedo, except for the fact that he dies, of course. I still contend that he was just flirting with Han and it was a big misunderstanding.
Oh, geez.
yeah,
it's Halloween colors. I never thought of that.
It completely changes the entire universe. But I love me some Greedo.
Well, you know, we've been very fortunate. We've had, you know, hundreds of guests on Coffee with Kenobi over the years. But there are certain people that I know that when it's time for me to pick a soundbite for the opening of the next show, I know that Holly Fry is going to deliver, and you didn't disappoint yet again. That is a thing of beauty. I love you. So what I keep referring to is that Holly, I said top five things for New Hope, and she wrote Greedo five times. And I was like, this is perfect.
And then I said, I promise I'll come up with four others.
That's right. You did. Oh, that's great. That's so great. Nick, what is your fifth one?
Holly, I want to know about your shrine to Greedo. Like, what is in that
running? What's like, what is this like?
So it's all of the Greedo stuff that I've collected over the years. I set up a fake tongue-in-cheek social media account called the Church of the Immaculate Rodian, where we worship Greedo. So it's kind of that. I'm turning around a little away from my mic because it's behind me. So I have like action figures and art pieces and stuff that people have made me, some stuff that I've made, like all of the usual weird little tchotchkes, the dolls. I don't have my my 1/6 scale version of the original action figure. I haven't put that in there yet because it's on that big card back and I haven't figured out how to. Basically, the shrine has to expand, is what I'm telling you.
You can take it out of there, out of that box, and still put it back in too.
Yeah, I'm just.
I know reluctant. I'm reluctant to do that.
Part of my reluctance is just because we have rambunctious animals, and I just picture like I will take it out of the box and put it up there, and then for some reason, even though they normally never would, a cat will jump up and then he will fall and something horrible. You know, I envision all of the worst case scenarios. So right now he's sitting adjacent. I have a lovely little green velvet bench underneath. And I sit there morning with my cup of coffee and put on shoes as I'm getting ready. And it's like my little peaceful, happy place.
I love it. So good. So good. All right.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. So my last one, I guess everybody touched on this a little bit, is the music. It's just the score. I mean, there's just, there's nothing like listening to Here They Come while you're driving through traffic, maybe not as slow as you should be driving. and you know, that's just me, or the, you know, the throne room, that's my ringtone. I mean, like there's just so that movie is just full of such amazing music for each of the scenes that, like you were saying earlier, Dan, it's hard not to hum it at any given point in time. Or when you're thinking of these scenes, have the music pop in your head. And it was just the beginning of, you know, for us to see what John Williams is going to bring to this franchise over the decades. And, you know, he hasn't disappointed, you know, ever since. And so for me, like just I don't have a shrine towards music besides, I guess, the iPhone, but like I need to relax or de-stress, like, you know, on a long drive, I will listen to, you know, the Star Wars music. I will listen to the themes from A New Hope in a sprinkling of other ones from the other movies, you know, just as I'm, you know, driving for work through the mountains in North Carolina, like just, you know, and take it all in and appreciate what I have, but at the same time, just get taken to a, you know, your mental happy place of, you know, how things were just, you know, just perfect for you when you first saw this as a kid, or when you go back and visit with family and friends, people you care about, when you share this movie with others. And I think that's what the music really does for me. So that's my last one of the day, sir and ma'am.
That's beautiful. That's a great one. That gave me another honorable mention too, by the way. So my last one is the scene in the hut where Obi-Wan explains the Force to Luke Skywalker and to all of us, you know, the Force is what, is the Jedi and his powers, an energy field created by all living things. It surrounds us, penetrates us, binds the galaxy together. I mean, that says it all. And also, by the way, it explains midichlorians just fine. And I wrote about that for Star Wars Insider a few years ago. But it's a great thing. And then he talks about Darth Vader and what happened with him and Luke's father. And Sir Alec Guinness is such a pro. He had no clue. No one knew that Darth Vader was going to end up being Luke's father. But he sells it because he's such a professional. He knows it's got weight to that moment. So he makes it happen. Lucas couldn't have picked a better person for that. And of course, this is called Coffee with Kenobi. And it's just a lovely scene. So there's my fifth one. Okay.
Yeah, that was powerful. That's powerful, man. That's the thing too about these movies that you forget about all these other, you know, we feel like we probably do top 20, you know, probably.
Yeah.
Easily. There's
so many parts of this movie. Yeah,
for sure. Okay, this will be part one. Very good. Well, now we've got a few honorable mentions. I have like four of them, and I'll just kind of throw them all together. But Holly, do you have any honorable mentions?
I do. My first honorable mention was actually Nick's first choice, which is the cantina. I am a sucker for a party scene in a Star Wars movie. I want I want to go be in it. I want to have a cocktail. I want to have drinks with Cabe. I want to lurk with Muftak. I love, 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 love the cantina. I love it. We'll move there. No problem.
You're excited for Galaxy's Edge then too.
Oh, you don't even know. I have the rabies so bad over it. It's insane.
No, I hear you.
Yeah, it's a problem. Which will hopefully be less of a problem when I can go as frequently as possible. But my other honorable mention is actually John Mollo for the costumes, because I feel like that doesn't always get all that much appreciation in A New Hope specifically, because they're not like the big flourish level costumes that we got, for example, in the prequels. But when you think about things like Obi-Wan's Jedi robes, Princess Leia's dress, obviously like things like the Stormtrooper armor and Darth Vader, which is really more of a Ralph McQuarrie thing. But the thing is, those are such iconic images now. Like you instantly, it's shorthand. You know, if you see someone in a long white dress and it's not a wedding dress, you think of Princess Leia. Sometimes even if it is a wedding dress, you might think of Princess Leia. Like it's so burned into the cultural consciousness of what, you know, okay, I can ID that is what a strong woman looks like in science fiction. I can identify, everybody knows a Jedi by its look. And it's all based off of these very simple, but really, really perfect, like pitch perfect designs for this movie.
Well, that's an example of, it didn't come to my mind immediately, but as soon as you said it, I just thought, oh gosh, why wasn't that in my top five? That's a great one.
Well, maybe because you're not a clothes horse like me, but
it's true. Just ask my wife, how many Star Wars t-shirts do you have, Dan? How many more do you need?
We don't even count clothes at our house anymore. Like no one needs that level of reckoning. It's very upsetting.
Oh, that's hilarious. Do you have any more honorable mentions?
Those are my two.
Okay, perfect. Nick, what about you?
Yeah, no, I have three just from our conversation. Said that we get honorable mentions, I would have had like 15, just kidding. But I think for me, one of them is something we've kind of all alluded to a little bit, is just the sheer amount of one-liners in this movie that we can all like just say off the top of our head, whether, you know, it's something Obi-Wan says or Han says to Luke, or like the scene where they're trying to break out Leia from the prison block. You know, this conversation was going nowhere and he shoots it, you know, just like the little things you probably use in day-to-day life. There's just so many of them to even start talking about, which just shows that the movie still has so much relevance in our lives 40 years later. And the second one is, you know, probably, you know, irksome foes with this one, but I think the special edition edits weren't all that bad. I think at the time when they were done, we didn't know we were going to get more Star Wars movies. We didn't know we were going to get, you know, stuff after Return of the Jedi. And so it just filled in a lot more information for us, you know, whether it was Jabba's scene or just the stuff driving into Tatooine, or even flying into the Death Star, you know, before when they're starting to call each other off, seeing all the X-Wings fly together, you know, towards the Death Star just made, you know, it was just added more depth to the saga and to our knowledge of what Star Wars was about. And so I liked the edits. I didn't, you know, find them terribly distasteful. And it just helped, you know, love more about the galaxy far, far away. And my third were, and Holly said this earlier, is the creatures, the diversity of aliens, droids, you know, bad guys, good guys. You know, it was just, there's so many aliens and different creatures that were populating this universe that you know, and as we saw with the From a Certain Point of View book, you can write for years about any of these characters that we saw for 30 seconds and give them a great backstory, because there's still so much to want to know and so much to explore in the Star Wars universe that seeing all these different types of, you know, characters represented on screen opened your eyes up to like, this is a huge, you know, universe, galaxy. This is something that is not just clearly defined as humans versus humans in a galaxy far, far away. This is everything that ever exists in our mind. So I think that's something that I think we overlook sometimes too, is that just the sheer amount of diversity through different types of creatures represented that really kind of fosters the idea that it's not about what we typically have seen in the hero's journey for the last 8 years, typical white lead male. It can be any of these characters. And hopefully we see more of that as we continue to do with all the Star Wars, you know, movies and the TV shows coming out, just the overwhelming diversity and the type of people represented as heroes and villains in Star Wars.
Very cool.
Those are my honorable mentions. Thank you very much.
Yeah, those are good. Those are so good. I'm glad you two are on this show, because this is a this is the movie that started on. You two are just, what you're bringing to this is exactly what I expected, plus more, because that's what you both do. So thank you so much for that. My honorable mentions, and I have four. The first one is the throne room music, because that is the music that played us out of the church when we got married. And I told the story. Yeah, so nice. Great. I told the story on the show a couple weeks ago, because we did top five things that Star Wars is to us, and that came up because Star Wars at its core is about family, and most of my my memories as a kid revolve around Star Wars. I've said this too. My dad wasn't the best father in the world, but some of my most positive memories of him and our family as a collective was around A New Hope. And so it's been there. And then when we couldn't find music to leave the church on, I got my phone out and played the throne room. And I'm like, what do you think of this? And my wife says, and we're going to say, yeah, that is nice. And Deanna looked at me and she said, is that Star Wars? And I said, yep. And she goes, all right, let's go. And I was like, yeah, Spike. And then I played it and I turned around and everyone just clapped and smiled and had tears of joy because they knew how much that meant to me and how much my bride meant to me. It was perfect. The other honorable mentions I have, I mean, that one's good enough on its own, but my fascination with the toys, which continues to this day, and the first figure I ever got was C-3PO. I thought he was a character from Logan's Run. I didn't even know. and that's all retro. My first memory is seeing the film, which, you know, that's a whole other ball game too. It's just a beautiful thing. And then you both mentioned John Williams, the oxygen, courtesy of David Collins, and that's his term. The oxygen of Star Wars is because of John Williams. So there you have it. A New Hope. We're going to go through all of the films in cinematic release date order, you know, and I'm pretty sure we're just going to do it week to week, unless something major happens that we need to take a detour. But we're going to go through all the films eventually. And this couldn't have happened without you two kicking off, doing such a great job. Holly and Nick, thank you so much for being back Coffee with Kenobi.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks for having me, too. It's a pleasure, guys.
It is a pleasure. Tell everyone where they can find both of your musings online. And Holly, let's start with you.
I am on Twitter as Surliest Girl and on Instagram as SurlyGirly5. For my day job podcast, which is Stuff You Missed in History Class, you can find that as Missed in History pretty much across the spectrum of social media. And then there is always Full of Sith, which is at Full of Sith, and Fauthentic History, I swear I yap so much, is at Fauthentics on Twitter, and that is where we tell the fictional stories of the things we love as though they were real history.
And Nick, what about you?
Oh, I will be found, probably this week, if anybody wants to know. Me and my family will be floating down rivers in North Carolina, thanks to Hurricane Florence. So if you want to keep track of us, just, you know, check out Google Maps or something, look for a giant family in a boat skirting down the street from Raleigh. So that's where we'll be. And I'll live tweet our experience. No, I'm kidding. I'm not doing that. So, you can find me on Twitter at Nick Deco, where you'll find all my musings about Star Wars predominantly. And right now, a lot of hurricane updates. But that's very rare. Hopefully.
And if you want to peruse the back catalog of Coffee with Kenobi, Nick has done quite a bit of work for us about Battlefront and Battlefront 2 and different mobile games. And he knows his Star Wars gaming for sure.
Thank you, sir. Yeah. And I'll tell you right now, the gaming stuff is still firing all cylinders. Battlefront had a new update recently that is expanding stuff into the Clone Wars series. I would, you know, look forward to seeing. I'm not sure what they're going to do with a new release of a game based upon a new movie. Or anything like that. I really don't anticipate it, but you know, I think they're going to add some more content throughout the year, especially into next year, as we start getting more stuff from Lucasfilms around both Nine and the new series. And, you know, we might get lucky and see some stuff from Rebels. But also the mobile game stuff, they haven't released anything entirely new yet, but they're investing a lot of different characters from across the trilogies into all three of their major games that they have out right now.
As soon as we sign off and I get the show edited, I'm going to keep playing that brand new Spider-Man PS4 game because it is the coolest thing ever.
Nice. Oh my goodness. Good call. Good call.
Oh boy, is it fun. Is it fun?
I'm so jealous.
You can do a pour over about that. You can do one of the pour overs. Just walk through it as you're playing it.
I think I will. That's a good call. Jealous. Good call. Appreciate the advertisement on that too. Let's go ahead and take our last break. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, One Nation Coffee, Harry's Razors, and Mouse Fan Travel. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Also, be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own feeds now. That's going to do it for show number 142 of Coffee with Kenobi. I want to thank Holly Fry and Nick Deco for coming on. In addition to the places that you just heard me talk about, you can also find me monthly on the podcast Looking at Lucasfilm, a part of the Jim Hill Media Podcast Network, and you can find me on Twitter at Mr. Zer, MRZEHR, and can occasionally find my writings on CWK's website, as well as StarWars.com, where I am an official blogger, and at IGN, where I contribute articles on Star Wars, as well as some other topics. Boy, I'd really like to write about that new Spider-Man game. We'll see. Thanks again for joining us, and don't forget to check out www.patreon.com/coffeewithkenobi to help support the show, as well as get access to podcasts not heard anywhere else, including CWK Pour Over. There are also t-shirts, coffee mugs, and much more. Have a great week, everybody, and I will see you next time. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here.